A very good morning from Munich. Thank you very much for having traveled here to our annual press conference 2016. It is the very first annual press conference right here in our new corporate headquarters here in Munich. So it is also a very special pleasure to welcome you here. Thank you very much for having followed our invitations. And I would also like to extend a very warm welcome to those of you who are following today's event online. Now, before we jump into Mr. Käse's and Dr. Thomas' presentation, I would like to mention a couple of housekeeping details. So please turn your phones on mute throughout this conference, and also an appeal to the photographers: please do not take any pictures with flash. Thank you very much.
Of the press conference. For that, please select channel 2. Heute Morgen haben Sie.
And now, this morning, you received the documents for Q4, as well as the entire fiscal year of 2016. All documents, as always, can be found on our press website, siemens.com/presse. Keep in mind, as well, our safe harbor statement, which you will find on the second page of the presentation. Now, our CEO, Mr. Käse, and our CFO, Dr. Thomas, will now give you an overview over the completed fiscal year, as well as an outlook on the upcoming fiscal year. Following that, of course, both of them will be available for a Q&A session. With that, over to you, Mr. Käse.
Thank you very much. I hope everyone can hear me. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mrs. Haller. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the first annual press conference at the new Siemens headquarters. We are right in the section linking the historic Ludwig Ferdinand Palace and the modern building. And I think that this is a very good place when you want to look back at the last year, but also a good opportunity to talk about the future of Siemens. Maybe you feel some jet lag this morning because you followed the U.S. elections yesterday. Well, I did so. You know, the American people have just elected a new president. Siemens congratulates Mr. Trump on his victory, and we are looking forward to continuing our trust-based cooperation with the new U.S. administration and surely with the U.S. Congress too. In the United States, we've got more than 50,000 employees, and the United States are our largest and, in many industries, the most important individual market. Economic momentum of any kind from the United States will and would also have a significant impact on the global economy. And the global economy can certainly use some positive momentum. As expected, we didn't get any tailwind in fiscal 2016, which is all the more reason why we are so pleased about our performance. The fiscal year just ended was one of the strongest in the history of our company. And setting aside portfolio divestments, I think it was actually the best. We've worked very hard, and I'm very proud of what we have achieved, particularly what our global team has achieved in 2016. Now, in the fiscal 2017, we are going to continue to work quietly but intensively and with full power, with full concentration on the execution of Vision 2020. Siemens also stands once again for reliability. In 2016, as in 2015 and 2014, we kept our business promises, that is, our original promises which we gave. And we have raised twice our original guidance for the year, and I can say that this is something which our competitors cannot say, at least not all of our competitors. The Siemens share price is above 100 euros. During the last fiscal, we were able to considerably outpace the DAX, and we were able to beat one or the other company in the industry. I can say that we really implemented our projects more than satisfactorily. And what's most important, you know, we are growing again, even in a tough environment. And we've grown more strongly than most of our competitors in 2016. Growth means perspectives. Growth gives people confidence and strength to master the tasks lying ahead. Now, let us have a have a quick look at the fiscal 2016 at the KPMs. Excluding currency translation effects, orders were up 6% to 86.5 billion euros. Our order backlog is currently a substantial 113 billion euros. Excluding currency translation effects, revenue also rose 6% to 79.6 billion. The book-to-bill ratio, that is the ratio of order income or orders to revenue, was 1.09. The profit margin of our industrial business was 10.8%. Well, we didn't need the fourth quarter for that. And I can say that all divisions, with the exception of process industries and drives, were within their target ranges. Ladies and gentlemen, this strong operating performance was also reflected in net income. And the after-tax income has grown considerably, and if we look at the figures on a comparative basis. So the earnings per share were 6.74. This is a remarkable figure. We are very proud of it, and I again have to say that we are really proud of our global team. Siemens is transforming itself step by step, and it is turning into a digital company. And we can see that in our business figures. Sales with software and digital services increased overall by 12% in fiscal 2016, which means we are considerably exceeded the average market growth of 8% per year. I believe that this is a very good performance, and it shows that our digital strategy is really taking hold, and we're continuing to work along these lines. In 2016, our industry software business grew to 3.3 billion euros. Today, 29 of the 30 leading car makers use Siemens PLM software, and a total of 140,000 customers use the PLM software, and this worldwide. Our business with digital platforms and services generated revenue of more than 1 billion euros in 2016. Alone, Power Services already has an order backlog of more than 3 billion euros in the long term. You know, this is an item, as a digital company, will be strengthened in the future. And this includes investments like in MindSphere, our operating system, so to speak. So you may say that this is the operating system for Industry 4.0. MindSphere enables customers to collect and analyze data and use it to develop new service and business models. And on the 7th of September, we had our innovation event. And at the time, we will give you more information about MindSphere, and then you will hear the details. And now I would like to take a look at the highlights of fiscal 2016. In September, the Argentine government and Siemens stated their intention to cooperate intensively in the future in the areas of energy, transportation and smart cities. This cooperation has a potential value of up to approximately 5 billion euros. President Macri has embarked on a clear course of reform and is thus opening his country to foreign investors. We can say that as a reliable contributor to Argentina's modernization, we can foster local value added, create new jobs and expand educational opportunities for young people. And this is something which we've successfully demonstrated in Egypt. And ladies and gentlemen, we are really getting closer to our customers, clearly getting closer to our customers. This is also reflected by the Net Promoter Score, that is our yardstick for customer satisfaction, and since 2014 it is continuously improved. And this customer proximity, ladies and gentlemen, is actually enabling us to seize opportunities in an uncertain environment. It will create opportunities to grow, and I can assure you that we're going to focus on that. We are not just winning orders, we are also implementing them successfully. In June 2015, you may remember, we signed agreements for three combined cycle power plants in Egypt with a total capacity of 14.4 gigawatts. Of this capacity, 4.4 gigawatts will be connected to the power grid in December, a mere 18 months after the agreement was signed. I can say that the energy system of a country has never been expanded so quickly. Argentina and Egypt are proof that Siemens is close to its customers worldwide and is making important contributions to the development of societies all around the globe. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is something which we do in Germany too, surely. And if you look at the ICE4, which is the largest rail order that we've ever received, and how we manage this project, then I can say it is really gratifying to see that when it comes to trains, Siemens is always dead on time. At every step we've made, sure that the project sticks to its original time plan. The ICE4 is being tested right away, and it will enter regular service in December 2017. You know, the train offers a host of advantages: more flexible train configurations, greater reliability and availability, and 22% less energy consumption per passenger seat than the first ICE generation. And I'm really happy that Rüdiger Gruber, the head of Deutsche Bahn, put it in a nutshell. And he was very succinct in his saying, more quality and more comfort coming from Siemens. It has not always been like this, but we are really happy about this statement. And we are grateful that we've retained this important customer and gives us such a feedback. Well, I can say that we are also successfully in reducing the amount of CO2 in our own company. Our target to be climate neutral by 2030 and be the first major industrial company to have achieved this goal. And we are really making progress in this respect. In fiscal 2016, we were able to cut CO2 emissions to 1.7 million tons, and this from 2.2 million tons in fiscal 2014. You're really seeing that we are making progress. And to our CFO delight, our efforts in the area of climate protection don't just benefit the environment. They also pay off financially. And I can say that within a few years' time, we will be able to offset these investments and also make financial contributions to these reductions. Ladies and gentlemen, about these really satisfying KPIs and figures, the fourth quarter has really made a strong contribution, and my colleague CFO Ralph P. Thomas is going to give you more details.
Thank you very much, Joe, and good morning, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in the closed year, fiscal year of 2016, we found a strong sprint to the finish line, and we can be very satisfied with the results, also in comparison with our competitors. Now, in a moment, I'll discuss the individual divisions in greater detail, but let's first consider Siemens as a whole. On a percentage basis, we achieved double-digit gains in both net income and basic earnings per share. This is an increase of 2%, and it's particularly gratifying that most divisions posted profit growth and that 8 of our 9 divisions were within or even above their target margin ranges. In Q4, we continued to grow, and we were able to increase revenue by 5% on a comparable basis. Orders were down, but this decline was due to a lower share of large orders, especially at power and gas and at wind power. However, our basic business, so our business with orders below 50 million euros, grew moderately. Now, orders were solid for the overall year, as was already explained. Now, let's look briefly at the individual divisions. Power and gas achieved strong revenue growth by processing existing orders, particularly the Egypt projects. Among other things, we delivered 16 large gas turbines in Q4. Profitability, however, was negatively impacted by a less favorable revenue mix, which included less service business. There are also still overcapacities in the power and gas divisions market, which leads to aggressive competition and increased price pressure. Nevertheless, the division is making good progress in strengthening its market access, improving its productivity, and further developing its technologies. Power and Gas was able to increase their market share from fiscal 2015 to fiscal 2016, from a market share from 25 to 29%. This strong installed base will have positive impact over the long term, such as in the service business. Wind power delivered another strong quarter with an outstanding margin of 8.3%. Now, this improvement could be achieved through high revenue, productivity improvements, an increased capacity utilization, and a larger share from the service business. As a result, the division had a strong basis for its merger with Gamesa. Energy management delivered an impressive performance in Q4, considering all KPIs. This is evident in all key figures, and the division achieved a profit margin of 8.4% with improvements in most of its businesses. Energy management grew faster than its competitors, and we found increasing revenue in all three reporting regions. Building technologies made a strong contribution to Siemens' profit with a typically robust fourth quarter. The division's margin was in the double digits with continued strong order growth. The digital factory delivered a very good fourth quarter with industry-leading revenue growth and a strong profit margin. Now, if we take a look at the individual markets, we can find that China is stabilizing at a moderate level with a strong automotive industry, while the development of the United States market remains flat. Europe, including Germany, is growing slightly, driven primarily by the automotive industry. In the machine tool industry, on the other hand, an upturn is not yet visible. In this environment, our strategy of combining software and automation in our digital enterprise is truly paying off. And when it comes to Industry 4.0, there is no way around Siemens. Percentage growth in software orders was in the double-digit range. Factory automation also made clear gains. As far as revenue is concerned, factory automation drove significant growth in software and moderate growth in our short-cycle businesses, driven by automation. Overall, revenue growth had a positive impact on the division's margin, which in Q4 reached 18.5%. At Process Industries and Drives, orders and revenue were down compared to the same quarter a year ago, which was expected, due especially to ongoing weakness in the oil and gas sector and other commodity-related businesses. The demand for wind turbine components, however, remains strong. Profit at the division was negative, with results burdened by personnel restructuring charges of nearly 200 million euros related to previously announced capacity adjustments. Mobility booked fewer major orders in Q4 than in the comparable prior year quarter, but won a major contract worth 400 million euros for light rail vehicles in the United States. Revenue rose 4%, with the largest increase posted in the train business. Now, even though mobility's profitability was impacted by a less favorable revenue mix, the division achieved a margin of 8.4%, which put it in the upper end of its target margin range, which is derived from the competition. It has also had a solid project execution, as Joe Kaeser already mentioned previously, so this is highly satisfactory. Now, finally, we come to the Healthineers. Orders at our healthcare business were up slightly year-over-year, and revenue increased by 2%. The diagnostic imaging business achieved significant growth with continued robust profit development. The division's overall margin was also strong, and our healthcare area is a great business. In only a few minutes, we will explain how we intend to make it an even greater one. Ladies and gentlemen, fiscal 2016 was not just a financial success. We have also made significant progress with our Vision 2020 program. We're rigorously implementing Vision 2020 step by step, and in some respects, we're ahead of schedule. This also applies to our efficiency enhancement program, which we call One by Sixteen internally. We've achieved our target savings of 1 billion euros faster than originally planned. We had ourselves an ambitious goal, and in my eyes, our colleagues have consistently delivered a truly impressive performance that they can be proud of. In addition to that, we have initiated substantial measures across our entire company in order to meet our target of improving productivity by 3-5% a year over the long term. So how are we doing this? We're focusing on digitalization, of course. In 2020, for instance, we intend to be processing more than 80% of all our transactions with suppliers electronically. This will, of course, save time and money and enable us to considerably improve the integration of our business processes. We're also helping our suppliers do an even better job of leveraging their innovation potential. Digitalization is also making our own activities more efficient. For instance, we're constantly expanding the use of our own software offerings, such as Digital Enterprise. And Of course, this enables us to reduce time to market for Siemens products by 30 to 50%. So, for example, power and gas. By increasingly digitizing our work environment and, among other things, using mobile applications, we're making the workplace more attractive and we're saving large amounts of money, in this case around 100 million euros. We're continuing to drive this digital transformation forward, ladies and gentlemen. Our performance improvements also extend to our underperforming businesses. As already reported, we've developed clear realignment plans for these businesses and we're implementing these plans step by step. In fiscal 2016, our underperforming businesses, which, after all, still generate revenue of 14.5 billion euros, achieved an average margin of 3%. Now, is that enough? No, of course not. However, if we assume that 85% of these businesses will fully achieve their target margin of 6% by the end of 2017, about 15% of them won't, according to today's planning. You can be certain, ladies and gentlemen, that this topic will remain a top priority on our management agenda in order to drive and ensure sustainability. Performance and efficiency are also a matter of stringent project management, and Joe Keza already mentioned Egypt and the ICE4 as examples of the complex and large-scale projects that we're implementing. And in fiscal 2016, we made major progress again in risk management and project execution. So these aren't just one-day wonders. And I would like to remind you again briefly of the background. From 07 to 2014, the annual charges for large projects were roughly 700 million euros per annual per fiscal year. In 2012, project charges reached 1.2 billion euros, and by fiscal 2015, for fiscal 2016, we're not reporting any net negative effects from project charges. This means, of course, that improved execution in some projects more than compensated for charges and at other projects. It's important for us now that we stay efficient and remain willing to improve rigorously and continuously. This applies to all levels of the company. And with this, back to you, Joe.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Ladies and gentlemen, in May 2014, well, we have been in a more traditional environment in Berlin, and at the time we presented Vision 2020. And in October 2014, we started implementing it I can say and remember that there were many skeptics, there were many anxieties, there were many critics, many opponents and many cynical people. Some said, well, yet another program, and like so many in recent years, it'll fizzle out as always. Well, today we can say that Vision 2020 is working. In fact, it's really working well. It is working because Vision 2020 is not just one single program, but an overall concept. And it is also working above all because we've got the right people and because we've got teamwork and ownership culture now have the prominence we've always wanted them to have. As a team, we've defined the company's strategic direction. And we cooperated to drive operational consolidation. And we focused on our portfolio and we looked at the position of Siemens and together we improved the overall situation. Therefore, last year's record results were the product of a strong and lasting team performance. And this in our regions, in our divisions and also in our corporate functions. More and more people throughout the company are working hand in hand and are following our maxim, always act as if it were your own company. On behalf of the entire managing board, I would like to cordially thank all our Siemens colleagues for their commitment and for very hard work and their achievements. The last few years of transitions have not been easy, while those before haven't been easy either. But nevertheless, the hard work has been crowned with success, and the next few years won't be easy either. But we know how to get the job done, and we can rely on one another. It's been a long time since our employees have shown such enthusiasm for our company and eagerness to contribute to our success. The interest to join our company is very strong. In fiscal 2016, more than 35,000 people have joined our company, of those 4,600 in Germany. As a result, net headcount of the company has increased by more than 3,000 to a total of 351,000 at the end of fiscal 2016. And surely, even if we have to make structural adjustments in a few areas, we are still growing as a company in business volume, in profit, in R&D investments, but also in the number of our employees in the company. In autumn, we have now hired roughly 1,900 employees who've begun training programs at more than 30 Siemens locations in Germany. And I can say that Siemens is training around 9,000 young people in 22,000 countries because, you know, we are very happy about that. And this is the future of the company. And there's another gratifying development. Siemens employees are becoming more international, are becoming more multicultural, and they become more diverse. You know, male, white, this phenomenon is, you know, dwindling away. We are offering more work-study training programs outside Germany, and they give us clear competitive advantages. We can say that 30% of our management will have their seat in other countries, and I can say that we make really good progress. Now, looking at the women's quota on the management levels here, we've seen an increase. And we can say that we now have 16%, and it was 11% in 2005. We can say that the direction is correct, but this is not sufficient. Ladies and gentlemen, you can really be sure we know and we have seen that there are many people who do not respect female executives. But I will talk about this more in the future. Well, ladies and gentlemen, achievement performance should be worthwhile for everyone, for us and for the shareholders. Now, let us have a look at the dividend against the backdrop of the 2016 figures. We will be able to propose our shareholders at the upcoming annual shareholders meeting on February the 1st, 2017, a dividend of 3.60. This is a percentage increase of 3% on a like-for-like basis. Our dividend policy is geared toward long-term reliable results. And I can say, for its shareholders, Siemens is and will remain a worthwhile investment. This, you know, also is reflected in the fact that the dividend has been on the increase over the last few years. And this is certainly good for our employees. And more than 153,000 employee shareholders will benefit from this because they own Siemens shares. In addition, we will also allocate 100 million euros to the profit-sharing pool, and I can say that it will total 300 million then. Now, if the pool reaches the threshold of 400 million, and we can say that when we look at the development and we can assume that this will be a threshold which we will step over very soon, then this can be distributed to non-material employees worldwide, wherever this is possible. This means we are going to give a share to our employees in or participate in our company's success. But now, ladies and gentlemen, let us have a look at the future of Siemens. Let us look at the portfolio first. Many of you were present at our half-year press conference at the Mosaikhalle in Berlin in May 2014. At the time, we announced that as part of our Vision 2020, we intended to operate healthcare as a separately managed and within Siemens, as a company within the company, in order to be better positioned to react to changes in markets and technologies. Siemens Healthineers has continuously gained market share over the last few years, has established its position with its own market presence, and has an outstanding portfolio with leading technologies. Within the last 5 years, our healthcare business has increased its profit margin by 400 basis points. to 17.2%. And the potential is certainly not yet exhausted. Revenue and free cash flow development has also been very gratifying during this period. We could say that in important growth fields and when it comes to services, we really want to expand our business. We intend to substantially expand our healthcare business in the growth fields of molecular diagnostics and advanced therapies as well as services. And this is exactly the reason why we are planning the next step and prepare our company to be publicly listed. That is, the healthcare business to be publicly listed. Ladies and gentlemen, the Healthineers have advanced from a good business to a great business. We are now going to turn a great business into a fascinating one, under the guidance of Siemens, a strong brand. And we're going to give you more information about the developments, about the transactions, that is, to what extent and how we are implementing these strategies. And we're going to do in due time. Let us now look at the merger of Siemens Wind Power and Gamesa. Again, we've made good progress here too. At Gamesa's extraordinary general meeting on the 25th of October, we have now got the approval of 99.75% of the shareholders, and they voted to approve the merger. And we can say that this is really a milestone because, you know, we are on the way of, you know, bringing about this merger. I can say that we are right within our schedule and we expect that we will be able to consolidate everything fully by the third quarter. We're going to show you the figures later and will be able to have the consolidation in time. You know, together we'll create the world's leading supplier of renewable energy. And I can say that this is very good for strong wind power and we will have a good cost basis, and it also we are also going to continue to invest in our renewable energy resources, because wind power is not the only thing that is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, our entire strategic portfolio development will increase and strengthen the Siemens business. We will expand our leading position in this respect. If you want to be successful in the long run, then you have to look at the development in the markets and in the society. You have to adjust. You have to further develop, and you may have to reinvent yourself. This refers to innovations on all levels in all functions of the company. You know, in the fiscal 2017, we are going to increase our investments in research and development and will increase it to about 5 billion euros. And since 2014, we've continuously increased our annual R&D expenditures by a total of about 25%, which means 1 billion euros. This is correct, this is necessary, and you can see the success when it comes to growth. And we are also focusing more so than in the past on disruptive approaches in innovation, and we are trying to apply modern forms of innovation management. Next 47, a new separately managed unit, began operation in October. I believe it is a very good name. It will bundle our existing startup activities and will drive innovation and will provide momentum for culture change at Siemens. Then there is Lac and Nantes. We have brought a well-known manager on board from Silicon Valley. Mr. Anand has got 20 years of experience in, helping and financing startups, young companies. We wish him lots of success, and we are really interested in knowing and seeing how he's going to orient the company, and surely we are going to give him all the support and assistance that is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, the current geopolitical developments require our attention to a particularly high degree. The rapid rise of political and social populism and accelerating global migration are causes of concern. Now, as a result, uncertainty continues to dominate our lives. The future relationship of the UK to the EU remains unclear. In many European countries, nationalist movements are gaining momentum. The conflicts in Syria, Iraq and Ukraine are unresolved. Over 60 million people in the world are now refugees more than ever before. And surely this uncertainty continues to negatively impact the economy and investment behavior. There's also recently been positive news from some countries. Iran and Cuba are opening to the world. Argentina is also back on the map for investors. So we believe that integrative dialogue is absolutely necessary. It is one of the most important tasks of those at the helm of politics or companies. And this is the reason why we have this integrative dialogue when it comes to digitalization in the industry. And this brings me to the outlook for 2017. Because based on the complex global outlook, the investment climate and the growth prospects, the difficulties will be on the increase. We talk about difficult markets, and this is what we expect. We expect moderate growth, which adjusted for portfolio effects and currency effects will be moderate. But nevertheless, we expect order intake and book-to-bill of slightly above 1, result margin 10.5 to 11.5% in 2016, 10.8%, 10.8. So you see, the figures are very precise, actually. And when it comes to after-tax profit, and this is decisive for us, and this in addition to any growth figures, we are going to have a range of 6 euros 80 to 7 euros 20. This is a figure which we expect, and we believe that this is clearly an increase in comparison with the 6.74 in fiscal 2016. And when studying the figures, you probably have noticed that you know, the 6.74 have included 0.23 euros from discontinued operations. I believe you want to take that or bear that in mind when you assess and evaluate these increasing figures. This outlook assumes further stabilization in the market environment for our high-margin, short-cycle businesses. This is what we assume. And it further excludes any charges related to legal and regulatory matters, as well as potential burdens associated with pending portfolio matters. I know that these are really negative sentences, but it is absolutely necessary that we are precise in our statements. Ladies and gentlemen, with Vision 2020, we want to make Siemens fit for the future, and developments in fiscal 2016 showed that it is working. You know, digitalization gives us many opportunities for our company, an opportunity to make Siemens more innovative and efficient, an opportunity to ensure profitable growth, and we also see it as an opportunity to generate long-term value for our customers and the society as a whole. We are going to seize these opportunities and use them as they arise. In fiscal 2017, we are investing 5 billion in research and development, and we are taking the bold step of launching Next 47, an exciting initiative for disruptive innovations. We are improving continuously in efficiency and performance. All around the world, we are training employees and creating jobs. We are cutting our CO2 emissions. And our products and solutions are helping customers reduce their climate footprint, become more and more environmentally benign, and this everywhere in the world. Having said that, I can say that we really make an enormous contribution to the development of the company everywhere in the world. In the year that marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of our company's founder, Siemens is in a very good position. To celebrate our birthday, we've given him the best operating results of all times, and we are working hard and conscientiously to sustain this success. Having said that, I would like to thank you for your attention for this slightly longer presentation, but nevertheless, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and Mr. Thomas and I will be available for any questions you may have.
Midlife.
Now, this would bring us to the Q&A. I would like to ask you for a show of hands. I can already see some people have questions. Of course, if you do have questions, please wait for the microphone. Otherwise, it will be impossible to translate. Now, I would suggest we start on the right-hand side, Mr. Bussem, Mr. Höppner, and then we move on to the left side. The first question. Now, Mr. Trump's election, he's probably going to go for protectionism. Is that already In your forecast, what do you expect in terms of the U.S. business? Because you have many people working there and with a lot of business in general. And then also going back to the healthcare and medical technology, what's the exact timeline and how much what's the percentage that we're talking about in particular? Thank you very much, Mr. Busse. Now, of course, Mr. Trump's election win has been discussed quite a lot. It's a democratic process. The American people have elected this president, and we're going to deal with this president. So there is no question to ask about this. He also announced that he's going to invest quite a lot on infrastructure. He's going to try to modernize the country. We have more than 50,000 colleagues working in the United States who I believe have good employment and good employment opportunities. We have almost 22 billion euros revenue in the United States, also exporting from the United States. So we're not only someone using the economy of this fantastic country. And regarding infrastructure and healthcare and industrial modernization in general, I almost couldn't think of anyone else who could contribute as much as Siemens could. When it comes to the healthcare announcements, we would like to give a clear signal not only to the public but also to our employees and to our staff that we are consequently and step-by-step implementing our Vision 2020. We would also like to provide some sort of stability, planning stability for the future. And of course, we're all going into the future together, and that is why we would like to make it as precise a process as possible. We are going to take our time, consider our options, consider the process, how we can prepare as well as possible, how we can take the growth, the opportunities, but also the expansion of our healthcare business, which, as far as I'm concerned, is it's even more important to expand the business and not just to support it. But once that time has come, we are definitely going to be able to describe it a lot more precisely. We're going to do that closer to the date. Good morning, Höppner from the Handelsblatt. I have three questions. Number one, do you want to stay the majority shareholder with when it comes to the Healthineers? Two, you banked on synergies between the businesses, and you mentioned one Siemens. It now looks more like a holding structure. Is that a correct observation? Is it really moving towards that direction from the initial system to what we're seeing now? And three, you mentioned the portfolio effects. Is anything up for divestment? Is there anything that you're expecting any loss on, or is it just a theoretical calculation? Now, I think Mr. Thomas would answer these questions in greater detail, but before he does that, I would like to mention something on the majority shareholding and holding structure in general. I think we're doing what is best for our company. We would like to massively expand on renewables, of course. That is good for the future. That is solar and wind energy. And that is going to be crucial in the future. It doesn't mean that we're going to focus exclusively on one element, but I think it's important to see for Siemens what the right approach is. I think it's a clear consideration where the solar modules end and where regular electricity starts, so you have to calculate that. And I believe we really need to focus on this and gauge all of our options. Of course, the renewables business has been significantly strengthened with our new business, with the new more than 90 gigawatts that we have the by far the biggest installed base. And of course, from that, we can generate additional service models. So a big base, we have a lot of data. A lot of data means a lot of analytics. A lot of analytics means understanding a lot. And understanding a lot means being able to provide great concepts to help. So that is quite important. We're also reducing costs where it's ecologically sensible. And it's also important that we keep a green vehicle economically viable. So we cannot reassess the situation every 4 years and base it on the legislation out there. If we build a factory, the factory is going to stay there, despite the fact that someone else might come into power, politically speaking. Also, when it comes to new technologies and developments might take a little longer than one legislative period. Therefore, we need to be stable. We need to have a stable course of business so subsidies and our businesses can all bear fruit. We've seen this in the past. Back then, it wasn't a holding structure that we focused on. We focused on how could we best achieve the success that we're aiming at. And you can already see that when it comes to the industry, I think our last acquisition was at Sidi Apua. That was about €1 billion. And we're really making a lot more headway than we initially assumed. And we summarized, we integrated it into our value-added chain. And, of course, we needed to see electrification, automation, digital enterprises, a very, very high degree of systemic integration. And, of course, we're investing into this integration. Now, there are many different markets, many different technologies, but I believe that this is truly one of the most important businesses in Siemens. It's going to remain that. Otherwise, we would have said in the press release, Siemens strengthens its healthcare business and we purely focus on that. But the way that we've said it, I think, says everything. And I think Thomas can now be much more precise when it comes to the outlook. Well, I'm definitely not more precise, but I think I can clear up one or two things in terms of why we added this very specific wording. It's not about any loss that we're afraid of. It's purely about the technological implementation of the portfolio activities. And just one example, we can look at Gamesa. And we've targeted a closing in Q3. We are, of course, not necessarily the people calling the shots in all of these processes. So we are simply looking at what happens and when it happens. And I think we're going to see some steps that happen in every single integration. And we're going to evaluate the assets of the company and take them on our books. We're going to consolidate these efforts. And from that particular point onwards, we are the lord of the books, if you will. And whoever is that in that position, that person needs to conduct a purchase price allocation, which are going to be amortized over a certain period of time. That is a legal provision. It's also unavoidable. There are going to, of course, also be integrative costs. There's also going to be certain regulations that need to be implemented and executed upon, which might, again, have negative impacts on the financial numbers. But since we are not necessarily in a position where we know everything about Gamesa, in that regard, that's just a normal process. Now, first Mr. Alessi and then Ms. Meyer.
Chris Alessi, Wall Street Journal. In terms of the election of Donald Trump, he's spoken in the past about wanting to have a more conciliatory relationship with Russia. Would you see that as a possibility then for Siemens to re-engage and perhaps ramp up business in Russia again? And the second question I have is just to your talk about populism being on the rise. European populist parties have responded very positively to Mr. Trump's election. So I'm just wondering how you see him fitting into that geopolitical picture that you described.
Thank you, Chris. Look, the relationship with Russia is probably not about two people. It is about how the community of nations sets the standards and the rules, how countries and the community deal with each other. So I always made it clear also at that time with the Russian president, you know, we want to help the country to rebuild, to be rebuilt, and it needs that badly. But, you know, if the global community agrees on certain restrictions, Siemens has always, you know, been respecting the political mandate. And we'll see what it is. So I'm very much looking forward and I would very much agree to a notion that it is better to talk to each other rather than about each other. But, you know, we'll follow suit whatever is the United Nations set as standards. Und das zweite Thema.
And the second topic, when it comes to populism, of course, that's not a question of individual people. That is truly a movement, it seems, where we can see society being split into winners and losers. And this is truly an extraordinary development that we've seen. And what we describe as populism also drives a migration of values. And this truly splits societies apart. This creates uncertainties, of course, that the American people have elected democratically. Of course, you congratulate the new president. Ms. Clinton did that, which I found extraordinarily impressive. And I don't necessarily believe that democratic countries or democratic organizations elect in that way, and that's what we need to look at. It's mostly about where certain groups of the people all of a sudden become the opinion drivers. That's the problematic issue. And the entire development, social and political development, that doesn't only apply to us, it also applies to our competitors, also to our competitors' business analyses. But that being said, it doesn't necessarily positively reinforce investment behavior and business behavior. And therefore, of course, we also need to keep an eye on those aspects of life as entrepreneurs, also, of course, our competitors. Ms. Meyer and then Mr. Reiner and Mr. Wonneberger. Thank you very much. I also have a series of questions. First of all, 6 weeks ago, it was announced that ECTO won't continue. What's the current situation on this? So moving on to healthcare, you mentioned imaging is always highly praised. But of course, healthcare has other parts as well. So the ultrasound business, there's also information out there that they might even be in the red. Then, of course, lab diagnostics. You've purchased this roughly 10 years ago for around about 10 billion euros. We don't hear anything about that either. So maybe you could tell us what the status quo is for these two divisions. And third of all, again, regarding healthcare, if you would like to publicly list this company, this division, is it going to be Mr. Montag as CEO and Mr. Ratner as CFO, so the current management? And just one tiny last question regarding Bentley. What is the number of shares you have purchased? You just mentioned Digital Factory is important. Normally, you completely buy these software companies. Here, you only buy a small share. They are also going into the stock market. So what are the steps here? Right. Now we can already see you're thinking far ahead with the management, if this is going to remain as it is or not. And, well, I'd say that the management has done a terrific job in the last 2 years. We really have to put it like that. And I believe it's quite clear to see from the numbers. So it's truly a terrific management. And that's why we should be happy that things have developed the way they have. And in so far, I think the management truly deserves the utmost respect. Now, CTO, Mr. Rustrom, is still here until March 31st. Then the contract expires. We highly regret this, but also respect this development and will calmly sort through the individual elements, also when we find a successor, how this is going to affect the management work. Of course, I would also like to mention that under Mr. Ruswem, there are terrific people in his division. For example, Professor Stedler from the Aachen University. He really is truly an expert. And it seems that we're buying 3D printers, or some people are trying to buy printers, but others try to understand what it's truly about, what the software is about that controls these printers. And I also have to think of Mr. Gauss, who manages the entire software department for the company. So I think we can also do a month or two, or he can also do a month or two without leadership. We also have Mr. Weibel, who, like no one else, has been able to support our house when it comes to patents and intellectual properties, and truly brings us into the fore. So we have a terrific management that Mr. Russo also built, and I think that management team will be fine for a little while on itself. And I remember back when I was CFO, the team structure, had I just skipped work for about 6 months, nobody would have noticed, because the team structure was so strong. And I guess it's going to remain the same with my colleague to my right. And you always have to keep an eye on the team. The team is incredibly strong, so I am not worried whatsoever. And then healthcare, and once again, that held true when we used English adages, where we had founding culture and startups, but they, of course, weren't called back then. And it's, of course, very important to say that it's not all gold that glitters. And even with healthcare, we're still super strong. All lab diagnostics were quite good. We stayed a little below expectations that we set out back then. So I think it was 1.6 billion. And here we kind of need to align reality with what we set out for. Ultrasound, of course, is also a very important area for us, because it's used in the combination business in the ORs with imaging, but we're not as good as most others. That's a simple fact, that our competitors are technologically better. And I think we're going to have to catch up, both technologically and economically. That is a question. If we're in the red, I couldn't really tell you. But I agree that it's definitely not good enough yet. So this is also one of the so-called underperforming units that we spoke about. It's not a huge one, but it's very important to us, and we're going to fix that business. And just one more thing on the lab diagnostics. You might remember that we announced Excellion as a new platform, and it's developing very well. So I'm very positive that important lab diagnostics is going to develop accordingly. And now, before I think about my vacation planning after the highly motivating words of my colleague, I would only like to reemphasize that I also have a fantastic team. And you need a fantastic team in order to be able to have a company based on the different quarters and have a flawless business performance. Now, your question, Ms. Maya, when it comes to Bentley, I can give you a very personal answer to that, because during my time at industry, I already got to work with these companies. So we've known them for a very long time. We know them very well. It's a family company that, as many companies, after a particular point in time, thinks about what the future may look like. And this thought process is something that we are tapping into, that we're trying to take up opportunities in order to invest 70 million, which we have now invested into the shares that we've purchased. And we're going to continue until a potential public listing for this company, which, of course, is being discussed and is apparently also being pursued, is taking place. But what is more important is that we have gone into an industrial cooperation with Bentley, where both sides have taken on the responsibility to make an already very successful long-term collaboration even more successful. And in the transition from 2D to 3D simulation possibilities, we would like to streamline the strengths of both companies. And we've set out our framework to look at this aspect, which is even more important than the question as to whether a capital intermingling is actually taking place, because something is really working here, something is happening here on the market that is highly competitive, where we believe we are the leaders and we would like to remain the leaders. And also, Ms. Hübner, if I may just come back to one thing, it's also a form of strength. You don't only need to invest money, but you can also strengthen yourself inversely. You can cooperate. Like, for example, with the Bentley topic, we can truly keep all of our opportunities open also going forward into the future. So I believe that's a quite positive development.
Herr Reibke.
Reibke vom Plato Brief.
Reiter von Plato bricht. Mr. Kasam, since 2013, we have seen that Siemens has really made enormous progress. This refers to the KPIs, to the reliability. But could you give the investors or shareholders an idea of how long you would stay on board? And this is the second part of my question. Despite all this headway, all this progress Siemens has made, and despite the less successful, you know, and this when looking at any transitions or reorganizations at competitors, you know, you've been long in your position, and I can say that Siemens, that other companies sometimes have improved or have done better than Siemens. And, you know, the second part of the question, Siemens always said that they do not really want to divest anything. But what are the criteria which you would use when it comes to finding, you know, a buyer for certain parts or sections? Well, you know, how long I stay on board? I think it is the task and responsibility of the supervisory board to evaluate and assess that. And this is what we are going to do at Siemens. Talking about the course or the development of competitors, I think there are lots of things which we can understand. It is not necessary to communicate things. But, you know, it is often enough to look at the course or the share prices, where you start and where you end or what you end up with. And if you look at the company, then you will find a lot of astounding aspects. Apart from that, I do not really want to comment on all this. Lots of things are being written about. Lots of things are mentioned, yes. You know, look at lots of things. You know, you can only say that some companies or entities are quite successful, others are not. I think you do not want to really, you know, make worse the father or the mother of success. You know, this is something which you want to take into account. Of course, there are some, you know, arguments, some struggles, etc. You see, everything will develop properly. This gentleman in Berlin wrote a letter to me and apologized for his behavior. And therefore, I can tick off this issue, and if the quotes are right, then this person is looking for biblical support, you know, against the backdrop of these quotations. They're doing things well, they're doing a good job, they're responsible for the business, and, you know, we're not really, really unsatisfied. Mr. Vonneberger, and then Mr. Kuhn, Mr. Fleming, and Mr. Preschert. Thank you very much, and a wonderful good morning. Vonneberger from the Nürnberger Nachrichten. Two questions, if you like. Mr. Thomas, in your statement, you mentioned that you are not really happy about some parts of the underperforming business. Now, what and do you want to take additional measures? Now, my question is, does that refer to PD or does it refer to something else? And what are the measures you plan in order to, you know, give a boost to this department? Do you want to cut jobs, for instance? And the second part of my question refers to the fact that, you know, management, divisions, business units, you want to outsource them and shift them to other countries. I would like to know what is the current state of affairs and which division will be affected next. Mr. Vonneberger, thank you very much for your question and also giving me the opportunity to give a precise statement. About 2 years ago, we said that we are going to look at the underperforming businesses. This is what we called them. And that is those who fell behind the, you see, achievement of performance of other competitors. 15 billion was the figure at the time. So there was a negative return on sales. We try to make them come back by virtue of their own strength. In 2015, we reported that we've really left the red figures. And now we reported that the plan, which we announced at the same time, you know, return on sales 3%, and that we've really successfully achieved this objective. And now we've given you a perspective and outlook how we believe these businesses will develop in 2017. And there's very good news, actually. The overwhelming part, that is 85% of 14.5 billion volume, and this certainly accounts for something. Everything dead on target. We are right on track. This means we are in the process of making the improvements in order to bridge the gap in comparison with our competitors. This will continue in 2017. So we're going to continue along these lines. But we also want to say that against the backdrop of 15% of the volume, we believe that we will not really be able to achieve the 6% target against the back, drop of the business plans on the part of the managing board and also on the part of the respective managers and executives. We really want to have a close look. I didn't really want to speculate with any measures which we might introduce. Surely we could do so, but nevertheless, we might also accept that there will be delays, postponements in order to catch up along the line. But surely there are other possibilities, coming up with good ideas to make progress, to push things. It is certainly not sufficient to, take out costs here or there, because otherwise we'd have done so. But we just want to look at an intelligent further development, particularly when looking at this highly competitive environment. And clearly it is very obvious and evident that we have to follow the development. And then other aspects, when we have to respect all those being active in this business, whatever they've done and whatever has been, they've been moving everything in the right direction. And surely we want to accompany their efforts while they're working on it. Mr. Kayser mentioned ultrasound. Now, this is very well known. Let me add to that, someone who has been working in medical engineering for some time, this is not a tangible business on the group level, but when you look at medical equipment, every doctor and everyone else, hospitals need medical equipment, and surely there are elements in this portfolio where we are very strong, looking at cardiology and look at other areas where diagnosis is done using catheters. You have the ultrasound-inducing device which is, inserted into the body. In this case, we are not only very successful in the market, we are also the leaders in this aspect. So you want to avoid the black and white picture. You always have to weigh both sides, and there are many alternatives when, talking about this business. Another question, follow-up question? P&D. Well, this is irrespective of my first question. You've got the refurbishment or reorientation progress. Are you happy with the progress made, or do you want to introduce further measures? Let me add to that right away, if you allow me to do so. We reported on this also in my statement before. The measures which are required now in order to adjust the business and attune it to the market situation. We've done so. We have introduced structuring measures to the tune of 2 billion euros in the second quarter. And this means all this is in the consensus with the representatives of our employees. So we've introduced these measures. They are long-term measures, and the world will not look different tomorrow. So it won't work that quickly. But whatever we started, whatever we kicked off, and this in the context of the market environment and the competition, is sufficient that we will be able to face competition successfully. Mr. Kuhn and then Mr. Fleming, please. Let me come back to medical equipment or engineering. Maybe I didn't hear it properly. What is the timeline? What is this, what is your schedule, your plans in this respect? If you want to have a public listing of this company, what will happen? And do you want to do things step by step, or have you been thinking about another model? Medical engineering, and maybe the performance of medical engineering will not be very good. And, maybe after two quarters, we detect some kind of stagnation in this respect. Now, have you got certain, say, alternatives, options in the drawer, up your sleeve, if you like? Maybe divesting of this company, spinning off this company, things like this. Could you give us more information about this? another question about the fiscal year. You have got a very gloomy scenario when talking about the economic and political, you know, environment. But the stock exchange, you know, is quite optimistic, is quite upbeat when it comes to sales and turnover. You know, just to make it clear, does it mean that you've got a very good, say, backlog of orders, very good order intake? What are the driving forces for this very good or for these high-level expectations which we've seen this year? And let me come back to the United States again. You know, looking at the United States, it's the most important market for you. So in this respect, I'm a bit surprised that, you know, your comments, 140 characters, you know, I believe that this market is much more important. When the decision was taken in favor of the Brexit, then things were, you know, very rigid, very firm. And now it looks like that everything is nice and, you know, is this a diplomatic wording? You know, there isn't anything that you can look forward to. Of course, you mentioned a few examples. You know, you're not quite sure what you can be happy about or look forward to. Now, is it kind of concern which you try to conceal today? All right, you know, this is quite a lot of questions, many ideas. You do not want to divulge them right away. Sometimes it's better to keep them up your sleeve, if you like. Surely, internally, we are discussing alternatives and options. Now, before we talk about the forecast, and I do not really want to say whether this is speculative or realistic, you know, this is something which we can assess and evaluate it at another time. Brexit, United States. You observed this correctly. Brexit was much more of a concern to me than the United States. Brexit is a signal, or might be a signal, for 27 other countries. It is one of the major economies in Europe. It is a signal for others, particularly if things cannot be handled properly, if things cannot be migrated. So this is just looking at Brexit. You know, the people decided, made up their mind, and now the government will respond. So you cannot say, and we hope that this will not be a blueprint for another country. And then you might ask, what will be the end and what does it mean in the context of our common currency? What does it mean in geographical terms? And geography, you know, do not misquote me. I talk about a geographically relatively small part of the world. Surely, you know, we might cause, say, disruptions, disturbances, and we have no idea whatsoever how to handle all this. Therefore, Brexit as a kind of initiating, say, factor has worried me more than the United States of America. You see, this is a country who has made a lot of progress, and this is really very good. But when it is about, you know, appearing as a country in the world, then this country is doing that. There is no danger that Texas, you know, California, Utah, and New Hampshire, you know, they are not going to set up and develop separate structures and, you know, then start competing with each other or fighting each other. So this is the big difference if you look at Europe as, you know, a common economic market. And we can say that Europe's the second largest economy, but the United States, they are united. They are a unified market. So here you see the differences. Now, looking at the United States, I can only say I'm really happy that things are over. This election campaign, I believe the best is that it is over now and that we can now focus on the things that are really important, really, you know, important also for the United States. Now, talking about optimism, Ralf, how many? 1.7 billion euros over the last 2 years, including 2017, 1.7 billion have been spent more for research and development. and, you know, for the penetration, that is in order to get closer to our customers, to increase customer proximity and at the same time also improve the, say, the modernization of our companies. This, of course, includes investments, special capital expenditure. And, of course, you can expect things here or there. You know, geopolitical tensions, Brexit, and all the other menacing, threatening things, you know, all, you know, business with Iran, you know, we are allowed, but there's nobody ready or willing to finance because of certain constellations. You know, all of us have got these concerns, our competitors too. And we spend more for research and development, for innovation. We, you know, went all out for realigning our company, and others didn't really know how to handle the situation. Maybe they had reached a better situation in comparison with us, but nevertheless, we expect that we will be able to implement everything in such a way that the final result will be very good. That we, I know that this is an optimistic and an ambitious plan. I know we do not know what will happen if you get up tomorrow morning, and lots of things might happen. There are many things, of course, but we are also being paid for you not only describing concerns and worries, but also giving a kind of sense of direction to people. And this is what we're doing. And having said that, I believe we've said everything that is there to be said. Let me add to that just one aspect. You pointed out that the order backlog is on a very high level. It has grown year by year. And it's not only 13 billion, it is also the quality and the reliability which we have achieved when it comes to, you know, providing high quality products and equipment. And, you know, any productivity measures which we've decided in the past and implemented, and this refers to costs, structures, efficiencies. We're doing a lot in this respect. Let me make it very clear. You said healthcare is stagnating. You said that in your question. But it is important to remember that in the fourth quarter, on a like-for-like basis, healthcare hasn't made progress. But we also explained that the fourth quarter was a very strong one. But in 2016, looking at the Healthineers, we had 4% and sales 5%. We were clearly outperforming, outgrowing the market, you know, and 18.8% margin. This is a clear-cut improvement in comparison with the previous year. Now, Healthineers business, you see, we cannot say that each and every quarter will be the same. There are effects which, you know, arise because you are nearing the end of a year. So I don't think it is correct to say or use one quarter or the prior year quarter in order to draw conclusions that there is a stagnation. And Mr. Kayser mentioned that in his statement, that over the last few years we've really, really initiated and kicked off a lot of things, not only for Healthineers, but also we have improved considerably improved our situation vis-a-vis our competitors, and also the diagnostics and other things. You know, working on concepts, we are implementing these concepts. And this, of course, is all, say, advanced work or advanced effort, which will pay off later. Well, Mr. Kühnen, you are quite right in saying that the annual forecast doesn't give us a lot of latitude or leeway for any mistakes or faults. Mr. Fleming, Mr. Preuschalt, and then Mrs. Prolat. I've got three questions. One, public listing of medical engineering. This, you know, drives concerns in the capital market that Siemens might enter into activities which might not be so good. Do you think that there will be further major acquisitions during the fiscal year? Return on capital, the objective has not been reached last year, and this has to do with several aspects. Now, what are your plans for the coming year? And, you know, there's consolidation on the table, and then the 15% underperforming. This is another buzzword. Do you expect extraordinary costs in this respect, you know, that you have to write off or write down things? Mr. Fleming, thank you very much for your question. I believe this is a relevant; these are relevant questions. Let me start with return on capital. You know, we have these acquisitions, tied up capital in this respect, and of course in the last fiscal year, 2016, you know, there are repercussions, ramifications, and of course this will also affect other costs items, and this of course refers to the items, the PPAs for instance. Surely we planned and intend to move in the right direction in the forthcoming fiscal year. Let me use Gamesa as a case in point. We hope that everything will work out in the way we planned, that all the permits will be available by the third quarter, and then we will be able to bring about a closing. And of course, everyone is waiting for this final aspect. But nevertheless, I can say that on a comparable basis, and this is what Mr. Kayser said in his statement, are really moving in the right direction, and we really found a good balance between advance efforts to the extent Mr. Kayser mentioned in his statement, 500 million, just savor this figure, 500 additional million for R&D for various distribution channels, CapEx above that of the prior year level. So, and, you know, we are going to remain on this level for 2017, although the margin and the capital efficiency is increased at the same time. Now, coming back to the underperforming businesses, you know, the 15% you mentioned, well, this is the good aspect, actually, because the possibilities and chances to improve these businesses, we've tested everything, and, you know, at the six-month press conference you mentioned the PPA. Of course, there's always PPA, and this will never negatively influence our profitability at the end of the day. Now, coming back to public listing of medical engineering, and this is how I understand it, as a counter-financing of, say, major projects. This is how I understood it. No, we're not going to do it. Mr. Prashad, please. Good morning, Prashad from Dow Jones. I'm sorry, I still have got two questions about the United States. In September, you talked to colleagues of mine, and you were very much concerned, you know, that the investment climate is gloomier and gloomier. Now Trump has been elected, investment still on the table. So now my question, personally and CEO of Siemens, were you happy about the outcome of this election? Now, if all this is not enough, you know, Trump wants to strengthen the American economy, and you generated sales, $23 billion in the United States. But if all this is not sufficient, if Siemens turns out to be not sufficiently American in the eyes of the Americans, then, you know, healthcare, are you thinking of spinning off or divesting such business? Do you think of having listing these companies on American stock exchange? And then third question, geopolitics. You know, this was a bit, subdued in your statements, whether or not the developments in the world will also affect the Siemens business. Are you a bit more upbeat in this respect, or, you know, against the backdrop of drama or the situation here, the developments in this respect, have you, say, reduced your expectations or have become more moderate? Well, I'm going to give you the answers here. You know, these are very serious issues. You see, the outcome of the election in the United States, I observed that. The American people voted, cast their vote, and you're well advised to respect a democratic process. This is good. Well, you know, United States, well, this is an issue. Surely there was an intense election campaign, to put it like this. And now it's November. The president-elect will be in the office from January onwards. He will form a government which will form say, itself, then half of the business year will be over, whatever will happen in factual terms. And I think all the things that we heard are not of great relevance for 2017. And I think, can I said this in my, introductory statement, that every impulse coming from the United States will impact the entire world. This refers to positive stimuli, but also to negative ones. Geopolitics, my attitude hasn't changed. I said that this is an extraordinary situation for our business, and nothing has changed. I don't think it is necessary to repeat it all over again. It is just my personal opinion. We can say that this, when it comes to achieving our 2017 targets, I can say that nothing has changed. Next, Mrs. Potan, and then Mr. Binneron, please.
I have a few questions. Now, with or without the healthcare public listing, what should we expect in terms of your M&As going forward? Siemens has signalized that there might be larger acquisitions in the PLM software area, quite possibly. Now, what about oil and gas? GE buys Hughes, and what do you think about the consolidation in that regard going forward? Now, the second question is on Iran. How worried are you? Because I believe you mentioned it as a bright spot, or as a, the silver lining. I forgot what you said exactly, but how worried do you have to be that this could now be reversed, this positive development? Now, what do you expect, Thomas, in terms of M&A? Well, what I expect is that we do what we've always done, that we're going to have capital effective investments, sensible investments, and that we're going to speak about things when we know more about them and not before. I think I should outsource my questions or the answers for the questions to my CFO. He's always a bit shorter than I am. Now, when it comes to Iran, well, again, the community of states has opened themselves up again to Iran due to the implementation date of January 16th in 2016. And, of course, that once again reopened the economic dialogue, which we initiated as well. We also were received quite openly. Of course, setting up a country once more which was not part of the community of states for quite a while is a big opportunity. But at the same time, you have to take a very sensible approach. Of course, we can supply. Of course, they have different needs, different localizations. They want employment. They want technology. And of course, in this context, in our industry, we also need financing in order to facilitate that process. So it's truly not easy. There are many, many opportunities, but there are at the very same time also very labor-intensive issues. And I think that's exactly how we have to look at this scenario. And we already did quite a lot coming back to M&As with Gamesa, looking at Bentley. I believe we had a very, very smart entry point into process engineering, 3D printing development. And we had CD Adaptco in January, which we integrated, which not only mechanically enables our simulation, but also the wind and water simulation, which, of course, again, translates into our products. So I believe that we're doing this quite well, and I think that's exactly how it should be done. If possible at all, of course, always take a very sensible approach, and also my CFO has reiterated the statement. Mr. Bühnemann and afterwards Mr. Wonneberger. Niels Bühnemann. Of course, my statements hold true for other business divisions as well. Okay, now back to wind. After the Gamesa merger, you're going to have three main locations, Spain, Germany, and Denmark. How will you be able to split the workload between the three different sites? Can you describe this? And also, is there a potential tendency more to focus more towards Spain after the merger? Well, this is something that, despite all of the progress that has been made in this development, we don't know that yet. The merger has been approved in an overwhelming majority. Now, there are various regulatory aspects which we have to hash out with the regulators. And once we have created the company, so the closing, if you will, then it's time to go to work. We have made quite clear that the headquarters of the overall company is going to be in Spain. And, of course, we're going to have the sites in Germany and Denmark, as you've mentioned. And I think Gamesa is going to be better off if the headquarters is there. That's all that we have decided so far when it comes to wind and renewables. Generally speaking, we would like to see growth. And growth means that you don't necessarily have so much time for these internal discussions. So I more expect an offensive, very outgoing, customer-oriented approach that brings costs down and drives growth on an economical basis. Also, that we would receive support from the government. I think that's going to be one of the main focus points in this development going forward. Mr. Wonneberger. Two questions. Coming back to healthcare, I have to check when you were diverging the healthcare business. The employees all received quite significant promises, all the way to site promises and site guarantees as well as employment guarantees. Now, what is going to happen to these promises? Can you already guarantee today that these are going to be upheld? And also, the second thing is, when it comes to management and shifting them abroad, how far along are you? And what is going to be the next management part that is going to be affected by this development? Yes, absolutely. Sorry. I overlooked that. So let's start with what I overlooked. In our Vision 2020, we mentioned that we need to get management competency up internationally as well. So we need to internationalize management. That has nothing to do with the fact that in Germany we don't have good management, quite to the contrary. But it does have to do with the fact that as an international business, we almost conduct 90% of our business not in Germany anymore. So that's simply a fact of the matter, and we have to orient ourselves on the competition, on the customers. So think about regulations as well. Think about the government. Maybe people want power plants or trains or hospitals built by us or plants. And if we want to do that, we need to bring traineeships, employment opportunities, and investments into the country, not only get the subsidies from the government. So that's a trend. And it used to be the case that it was quite enough to have this local content, as we call it, that it was enough if you had a manufacturing business there. Now, some people did that because of the costs, but we usually do it because we would like to be close to the market and the local content. Of course, costs come into play as well, but the main focus is that we want it to be localized, that we want it to be close to the customer. That's what it used to be. Nowadays, things are different. This is not enough anymore. So you also have to have engineering. You have to have R&D very close to the customer so the concepts can be developed together, that manufacturing can be developed together. And in the future, going forward, it's going to be more and more the case, and I think we can see the first signs of that now, that also the decision-making competence is more closely aligned with the customer. And if you're the boss of a large customer who sits somewhere else in the world, and a customer comes along, some head of a country comes along, who says, well, that's fantastic, you can do everything, and then they say, here, that's a deal. Then, of course, these people will have to go back to Germany and say, well, I can't actually make the decision. And, you know, we might have a bank holiday, so the customer might have to wait 3 or 4 days for a decision. That is simply not the nature of business anymore. We need to have the decision-making competency on site where our customers are, so we can actually give our customers reliable answers very quickly and ensure them that they have found the right point of contact. And that is truly the motivation that we have when we're talking about these 30% and these quotas. As some have called them. So that was one. Now, moving on to two, your question on the divergement versus the listing. Nothing's going to change here. We talked to the employee representatives, and we discussed that the rules that apply to Siemens are also going to apply to Healthineers, so the healthcare. If the Healthineers were listed, nothing would change. So I think that is very important that we are very explicit on that. Now, we have roughly got time for two more questions. I saw that Mr. Kater has a question, Mr. Bleske. And then one more.
Energy business. Last week, you know, the Paris Agreement was ratified, and you have planned to be carbon neutral by 2030. So could you give me some pictures? By 2020, the Siemens energy business would change. For example, the power and gas business decreased dramatically, and renewable energy would increase. And second question, and how the Mr. Trump's climate policy affect Siemens business, energy business, especially in U.S. market. For example, wind energy would face the headwind in U.S. or something like that. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, vielen Dank.
Thank you very much for the questions. I believe that the number and the depth of these questions truly goes to show that Mr. Trump has already become a very important man as the president-elect. And of course, that already opens up opportunities to do the right thing, to give the world the opportunities that it so desperately needs. We have made it more than clear in our strategy that we are banking on a combination of renewables and fossil fuels. And fundamentally speaking, nothing has changed. At the moment, we are still lacking the professional and economical storage technologies. You may know that this is one of the five main focuses of the Next 47 initiative. But even if that were not an issue, even if we had the storage, of course, energy would still be a volatile factor. Imagine there was a night without any wind. Then, of course, it's going to be very difficult to sustain something with solar or wind energy. And that's why in our world, even in 2030, where renewables are going to make up for the majority of the world's energy provision, we still need a concept, even in that scenario. And we believe it's going to be a modular concept with smaller machines. So modular supply that would enable us to bridge these gaps that we would still find and also to supply all of that despite the renewable portfolio. That is our strategy, and that's why we are not entirely sure anymore if in 2030 this race towards the last few percentages are even going to be ecologically sensible anymore. We are counting on renewable energies. We're counting on a decentralized energy. But we're also believing that the coal-driven steam power plants are going to be switched over to gas, which means that this is, of course, a much, much better fossil fuel option. And also in the United States, of course, we have a large added value because our HQ is our service HQ is in the United States, one of the few that is outside of Germany, and we have one of the most modern plans in Charlotte. So we believe that we are very well equipped for all the national and international developments that are coming our way. Now moving on to Mr. Bleske and Mr. Böhne. My name is Mr. Decker. I believe you have forgotten me. Well, I wanted to ask about the mobility business. It seems that the incoming orders were significantly reduced in fiscal 2016. We would like you to speak up a bit. So on the mobility business, as I've mentioned, we see that there was a significant reduction of the incoming orders in the past year. Now, of course, especially in the train area, that is a business where you're faced with a significant price pressure, where you have competitors who receive government subsidies, such as, for example, Alstom or even the Chinese competitors. And I think the question that I would like to ask is, do you, as has been the case, consider splitting off of that area? Is that maybe an option to list this division, or are there any considerations to that nature? Well, now, of course, the incoming orders, especially when it comes to large plant business such as mobility, is very volatile. There is a billion or two here, and then nothing for a relatively long time, and therefore the quarter-on-quarter reduction doesn't necessarily worry me. But of course, as you've mentioned, there are competitors that are very ambitious also when it comes to the awarding of order process. Now, I believe if you would like to know more on the competitors, I think you'd have to ask the competitors themselves. But we don't believe that the German government would intervene if we did something wrong. And that's why, looking at the strategic intention, we would like to have a very vertical integrated mobility, not as many trains of aluminum and steel, but even having an integrated mobility so that you have trains, locomotives, you have fast trains, urban trains, suburban trains, subways, but interconnect all of that with the automation of mobility. And how do you say the automation of train business, of the guiding systems, that we also have an electrification of the entire state, and that we also take a look at the diesel engines of various trains that are not necessarily very green, and maybe looking at that and how, what we can do in the future. So I think we really would like to vertically differentiate our mobility business. And as you can see with the numbers, we are very successful. We are the margin leader, but you're still right. A good margin multiplied with a very low revenue still isn't very good. And that's why that's a very delicate balance we have to strike. And I believe we've done that quite successfully. Mr. Böhne. Böhne, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Mr. Käser, one question. It was a fantastic annual result, but at the same time, thousands of employment opportunities are being cut all around Germany. How does that go along? Now, if we could convince you to report on how many positions we're actually creating, maybe our public image wouldn't be so one-sided. And I specifically used the numbers that we have, 33,500 colleagues that we've built up globally. So that's a net add. Of course, we didn't have to do this. So if somebody goes into retirement, we wouldn't have to replace them. And therefore, the numbers are true. We didn't just make them up. And we've built up 3,000 employees net, and many of those in Germany as well. What we do have, however, is that our company, whether you believe it or not, is definitely undergoing a very rapid transition. A proactive transition is embarking into new industries. And we even see in some areas of the company truly proactive actions. And we're showing others how it's done. And that, of course, leads us into a situation that we create many, many jobs in manufacturing automation, in the software area, in the renewable energies area, the Wert in Cuxhaven, for example. Now, do we have any competitors that are building a huge plant in Germany? Most of them are only talking about it, but they don't really execute on their plans. So we are investing an incredible amount, and one-third also in R&D and assets is going into Germany. So we are doing very, very much and are also building up our employees. But at the same time, we are working in different sectors which are highly affected by modernization, by digitization, but also by innovation. And let's just look at wind energy, one of the main growth areas of our house. When it comes to offshore, we're not only a global leader, but also a technology leader. Most of the times that goes hand in hand, but at the same time, it's simply a fact of the matter. And we were the first ones who developed certain technologies also with our large machines, and that has sparked huge innovations and has triggered massive cost savings. So, for example, we don't need any transmission rings anymore, but the transmission rings are being produced in Rostov by fantastic, very loyal employees in that plant. So that's kind of the story. We're adding many, many more people than we're cutting. But unfortunately, at the same time, I only read that Siemens is getting rid of 2,500 employment opportunities. And the fact that we're building up 25,000 employees, that we're going to hire them over the next year and also the next 3 years, I don't really read that, despite the fact that we have 3,000 people in Germany. That's a true story. It's a very difficult story at the same time, because it means a change in the qualification structures. But it is simply our task to ensure the company's future. I think that already sounds like an end to today. But of course, Ms. Halle has the last word. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for the very active participation. We have a little bit of time left for personal discussions with Mr. Keza and Dr. Thomas before our analyst call starts at 11 a.m. You are, of course, cordially invited to join from this room or from the workrooms to follow the analyst call. And we also have a small lunch snack, which we have prepared, because I guess it's rather hard to write your reports on an empty stomach. I would also like to cordially invite you to our Innovation Day on December 7th, which is going to be right here in the auditorium of our headquarters. And besides that, we hope to see you again at the very latest on February 1st, 2017, for the result of the Q1 figures. I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you very much for your interest. Thank you.